Good morning. Nice to be called a grown-up earlier, wasn't it? I think that's a good thing, isn't it? It is absolutely wonderful. We both feel this to be here with you. About 10 years ago, Vanolia was part of the church here at Shepparton, and we got married at that time, and I remember Dave saying at some point during the process that Keith is whisking off the lovely Vanolia, who will no longer be part of us. Well, the good thing is, I brought the lovely Vanolia back, and double, because we've got Abigail as well, Dave. So I'm bringing two lovely people back with me. And no, it is really good to be here with you. And I know some of you were hoping we'd come a little bit earlier, but we just felt that we had to finish well at the last church and help them with the transition, really, of, you know, the pastor leaving and a new leadership, and they're looking for someone there. And pretty much like some of you know that I'm a Fulham supporter, and we weren't always in the Premier League, like playing Brentford yesterday in the Premier League. We've been in the lower reaches of the Football League, and we used to have a player called Simon Morgan, and whenever he was booked for a late tackle, he'd turn to the ref and say, "Sorry, ref, I got there as quickly as I could." So we have got here as quickly as we could. So okay, so I want to, some of you will have been here when I came in, we came in November, and I brought a word out of Ecclesiastes there. And it was, there is a time, an appointed time for everything, and a season for every activity or event under the heavens. And I want to, over these next couple of weeks, just develop that. So if you like, it's a part two and a part three that the Lord has given me. It's not, I would have loved to have come this morning with like a polished exposition from Scripture. But he actually, for today, gave me probably one of what people consider the most uninteresting chapters in Nehemiah 3. And I don't think it is the most uninteresting, but a lot of people think that because it's just lists of who did the building and the building works. So you read it and think, oh, wow, we're not going to read it this morning. Please take it as your homework, and then you can judge for yourself whether it's interesting or not. I'll come to that. So let me just recap what I said very, very briefly in November for those of you who weren't there. And the cycles of life are appointed by God. God set it up this way, and our purpose is embedded within God's purpose. And Solomon, when he wrote Ecclesiastes, in the first two chapters, he goes through this whole process of trying to explain all the cycles of life without God, and just looking at nature and everything. And he comes to the conclusion it's all meaningless. And it's only in chapter three where he concludes, with faith in God, that is actually the foundation for understanding. Now all cycles are part of an intricate and specific plan, and it says there, for every activity under heaven. And our purpose is embedded in God's purpose, is the conclusion there. And I asked three questions on that day. What are you called to do in this season? Are you using the gifts you've been given to serve God and operate within the measure of ministry that you have? And what will be the ripple effects of your ministry in this season? And so I'll bring that as a now word, actually, as we are in a new season here in Shepparton. And over the next couple of weeks, I want to bring a couple more parts just to help with that. And Vanolia and I feel called to come. The whole process was one of calling. If that's still on tape, that message, you can hear I said quite a lot about how we were called here. And so we're really pleased to be here with you. So let's just look at this scripture, Ecclesiastes 3, 1-8, if you've got your Bibles. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Time to be born and a time to die. Time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. Time to weep and a time to laugh. A a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. I want to pick up on really verse 3 there this morning about a time to build. And sometimes we need to rebuild, and the word which I'll come to, the Hebrew word about building, actually embraces this whole thought of repairing. And certainly post-COVID and the lockdowns, and none of us had walked that way before. I had not led a church through lockdowns and COVID, and the leaders here had not led in that way before, and it was a difficult time for many people. That was a really, really difficult time, and churches took a lot of hits actually during that time. And you'll probably know quite a few people did not re-engage. They got used to maybe coming to church in your pajamas and thought, oh, this is quite nice, having a bit of time on a Sunday morning. And we actually lost a lot of people. It was a tough time. And so in that sense, for a lot of churches at the moment, it's a time of rebuilding. It's a time of repair. It's a time of sort of building back up in a new season as we go forward. And most of you will remember the attacks on the World Trade Center on September the 11th, 2001. I actually stood on the top of the World Trade Center one calendar month before that. So I got the ticket on the 11th of August, which was something, and I had a bizarre conversation up there with someone who said, what would happen if a plane hit this building? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. 1 month later, that actually happened, and you realize you've got no chance up here, because you're up in the sky. But whilst they were rebuilding, there was one of the construction workers who was looking for survivors in the wreckage was a guy called Frank Silesia. He was one of the volunteers. He was working his way through the wreckage, hoping to find people still alive. And as a construction worker, he made his living making things. Unfortunately, he found 47 dead bodies in that wreckage. And he was trying to make sense of it all, where he stumbled across this chamber in the rubble, and there was a 20-foot steel beam, which you can see there, steel beam in the chamber, surrounded by lots of other crosses all the way round. And they later found that that beam had been forged in the fire from the different buildings, actually, and been constructed, and was standing there in the wreckage there from two buildings forged together in the fire. And it stood as a symbol in the shards, a cross found in the crisis. At the time, someone commented, we asked, where is God in all this? The discovery of the cross dared us to hope that he was right in the middle of it all. And I just wanted to apply that this morning, really. God is right in the middle of your current situation. Whatever you're going through at the moment, God's right there. He loves you, he's right there, and he wants just to build your life more and more. God's right here in the midst of this church. You probably sensed his presence. I sensed his presence as soon as I came in this morning. We sensed his presence right here in the midst of us during the worship. He's right here. And he wants the best for this church. He loves this church, and he's going to help us to build on what's already happening and to help us rebuild when necessary, where whatever is needed in this season. I wanted to say right at the beginning, this is the Lord's work. And he wants us to partner with him and serve him. I have still never, ever lost the wonder of that, that the God of all creation would choose me to partner with him as his ambassador. We can lose the wonder of things like that. He calls us a co-worker. We're his ambassadors. So he's right here with us. And everything I say this morning is in the context of serving God. And that's a real privilege, isn't it? I've never lost the wonder of that. To serve God is such a privilege. And we've all got different gifts. We've got all got different things we can bring to the table which are complementary to one another. It's the biggest privilege we have in life is serving God. So let's just, don't turn to it, but I just want to reference this morning just a few things out of Nehemiah, which I believe are relevant. One of the powerful messages of Nehemiah is that when you align yourself to the will and plan of God, it's amazing what can be achieved. And Nehemiah 3, and I'll say more on that, what they achieved. Nehemiah 3 is all about the work, building, repairing the walls of Jerusalem. And they do what seems to be impossible because they are doing what God has called them to do. 52 days they rebuilt the walls that had been in ruin for over 150 years. It seemed impossible at the time, but because God was right there at the center and they were right in the call and will of God, amazing things happened. Verses 1 and 2, it talks about the work being consecrated. Nehemiah and then the high priest, Eliashib, I think that's the correct pronunciation, knew that God wanted everything set apart for him. And the word there is consecration. And that is recognition that something is special, uniquely set apart for God. They understood that all that work belonged to God. What we do here is all God's work, and we're serving him in that work. And when we recognize this, it is the secret of joy and success in life. Paul later wrote in Colossians 3, verse 17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." As we partner and serve him, we'll discover that he'll help us. I'll say a little bit on that in a moment. So here we see in Nehemiah, the priests, the leaders, working, serving and building. Then in verses 3 to 5, it talks about every man and woman's work was important, and they worked on rebuilding the walls, and walls that would bring protection and security for Jerusalem. And each person, each family was given individual responsibility for the work. So they all worked together. And a word that is used in the rebuilding is what we call repair. And it's a Hebrew word, shazak, which is used 35 times in that chapter alone. And it's an idea of strengthening, it's an idea of encouraging, and it's an idea of making something strong. And these are principles for us that have application to not just for material gates and walls. You see, the Bible tells us that we're to be built up and repaired. Ephesians 4, verse 12, the purpose of the church is for the equipping of the saints. And the idea behind equipping is to prepare, strengthen, and make something able to be used. So I just believe in this season, as we come together as the body of Christ here, as we come together as God's people, God will strengthen us. And he will help us, whatever we're going through, whatever we put our hands to. And we can strengthen one another as well. We can make one another strong. To be able to live for Jesus and serve him outside the gatherings of the church. Now, as I was looking at this, I just thought it's wonderful to consider that Jesus himself was a builder. Mark 6, verse 3. Of all the professions that the Son of God could have chosen, he chose to be a builder. He created things. He was a carpenter. In Nehemiah, we're pointed to Jesus, who is building his people into a beautiful building of God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9 says we're co-workers in God's service. Ephesians 2:20-22 talks about Jesus as the cornerstone where we are built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And in 1 Peter 2, verse 5, we're living stones, we're part of a royal priesthood. You've ever thought of yourself as part of a royal priesthood? That's the Lord's priesthood, and we're part of that. We can read these very familiar scriptures and lose the wonder. Let me just say, please never lose the wonder of God's word. Never lose the wonder of this. Co-workers serving God together with the God of all creation, who we can walk with in a very intimate way. So we're called, I believe, to build and to work together. The Lord will strengthen us for the work here in Shepparton. He will encourage us. Let me just say about encouragement. We've got a responsibility to encourage one another as well. Hang on, I've lost a page. Where's my page four gone? That's it. Sorry. Yeah, there we go. I thought I'd lost a whole page there. Encouragement. Encouragement is part of a culture of honour that Jesus modelled with his disciples. It is largely lost to us in the West, in the churches. And because of that, encouragement and please and thank you and everything that was part of that can sometimes be lost in church life. And the joy of serving the Lord can be lost because of that. And we can feel not appreciated and all of that. I believe in this time the Lord is going to strengthen us. He is going to encourage us. And we have a responsibility actually to encourage one another's. I don't know if that is part of what you do here. In a lot of churches, it is largely missing. I remember I used to work with HTB back in the day when Alpha was sort of on the up, when Sandy Miller was the vicar. And on a Monday night, I was one of their regional advisors and had to speak at one of their gatherings. And there was me, and it was like the who's who of the Christian world. It felt a bit, oh, crikey, surrounded by famous Christian people here. But I just gave a little bit of a... You know, I just said, what's happening in Alpha in our area? It was across the Slough area, how to get other churches involved and different things. And as I say, it was all afterwards, it was all busy and people talking to all these more famous people, if you like. Sandy Miller, in the middle of that, came over to me and he said, thank you ever so much for what you shared. We are so encouraged to hear that. And that really spoke to me. I thought, wow. There's a culture of honour right there. There's encouragement right there. And of course, when someone like that says something, you just feel 10 foot tall as you walk out of the building, don't you? And so that, I believe, will provide for us here. So, and I'll come back and talk more about a culture of honour. That will provide for us rich soil for all God calls us to do. HTB had that back in the day. They probably have now. I used to joke, if you're having a bad day, just ring HTB. You feel it will turn you around. It will make you feel much, much better. So encouragement. I need to move on because I'll come back to that. We've got time. Right. Secondly, it's a time to take ownership for our part of rebuilding the wall. Nehemiah 1, the news came that the walls of Jerusalem were down. It was a time of brokenness. The people were broken. The economy was broken. Society was broken. And the walls had been down for some time. They'd been down for over 150 years. There was nothing new in that sense. And Nehemiah had a choice. He could have said, oh, well, that's just how it is. Or he could have taken ownership. And he chose to take ownership and responded. And what had been neglected, as I said, was rebuilt in 52 days, which was amazing. What did he work with? The people in the city. That's what he had. They all worked together. And I think the challenge for us in this season is, how will we respond at the walls of the church following COVID need some repairing and rebuilding? Now, I know a lot of good things are going on here, and be encouraged for that. But to build on that, it needs us all to respond, actually. What about the walls of our community? Well, they are really broken down. They desperately need God's restoring love, people out there. This community will be full of people who are lonely and isolated, those who are bereaved. They need God's restoring love. And we're the people who can take that to them. So how will we respond? Like the people of God, will we rebuild our part of the wall and serve God? Now, whether that's in the community, as I've said, whether that's the children's ministry, it's great to see all those children going out, because last time I was here in November, I think it was a lot fewer. So that was really encouraging to see on our day one. That was lovely, wasn't it? Whether it's in worship, whatever area you feel to call to take ownership, whether it's in some of the missional activities, the youth work, the people all played a part. Nehemiah couldn't do it on his own. He needed them all. And it will take us, all of us, to play a part. And thirdly, and I felt the Lord was really emphasizing this, actually, it's a time to be available. In verses 6 to 12 in the third chapter of Nehemiah, we find there folk of different professions who probably did not feel qualified or did not feel able for the work of the building and the repair of the walls. But they all engaged, with one or two exceptions, and got stuck in. The most important ability in the work of the Lord is availability. So are we available for the Lord to use however he wants to use us? And then it's about passion and drive to use the gifts that God has given us. I read a little story about some of the rebuilding in Bangladesh in 1972 after everything that happened there. And Viggo Olsen helped to rebuild 100,000 houses in war-ravished Bangladesh at that time. And he was inspired by this chapter, Nehemiah 3. He commented, a lot of people think this is a really boring chapter, but it's the one that really inspired me. He said this: I was struck that no expert builders were listed. There were priests, priest helpers, goldsmiths, perfume makers, and women, but no expert builders or carpenters were named. In this wonderful chapter, we see that the leaders, the men, the women, worked side by side. They worked together, they engaged with a common vision, and they all played a part. And that's what's needed in the rebuilding of the church, to see God's glory come and see the kingdom of God come in the wider community. It's all of us playing our part, all part of that royal priesthood. We will see, I believe, more and more the glory of God as we do that. I really believe that. The presence of God, hosting the presence more and more here. The Lord's already here, but more and more. To see a restored church, people growing in their relationship with the Lord and reaching out into the community. Let me just finish with a couple of things today. They mention, right at the beginning here, they talk about the gates of the city, and they were the entrance points and they were the exit points for folk to. And in a similar way for the church, we have entrance points and we have exit points as well. The entrance points, as I was reading this, I just started reflecting on this, are where folk come into the church, where they find church a safe place, and they are critical because they're our missional entrance points. Whether that's things like you're already doing, like the Bread Cafe, Food Bank, whether it's Alpha, whether it's the Cafe, Oak Tree Cafe, or some new initiative. These are really, really important, that we are incarnational and missional into the local community, because then we can be those ambassadors that bring God's love, God's restoring love. And the exit points, pastorally, it's the back door where people can slip away. Let's be a church where people don't slip away. Let's be a church where people feel they can belong, they feel loved, they feel encouraged, as I've said. And let's close those back doors. So we want an open front door and a closed back door. Say more on that over the weeks. I'll say something about prayer as well. It was great that Diana and Mike both came up and shared things this morning, because I think it's a time for us to be available to seek God in prayer, to seek God's presence. Nehemiah, in Nehemiah 1 verse 4, when he heard that the walls were down, he said, "As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days and continued fasting and praying before the Lord of heaven." He wept. He felt the compassion for the city of God. He felt the compassion for the people of God. He felt the compassion for God's work. And that was a real motivation. We see that many times, don't we, in the life of Jesus. It was compassion that motivated him there. And as I say, a time to seek the Lord and pray. I think it's a time to seek his presence. It's a time for the prophetic to really flow as well. And we can talk more on that. But let me just say one aspect of this, which I believe will happen more and more for us. Over the last period of time, a little time now, I felt the Lord teaching me to pay attention to what caught my attention. He said to me once, "Pay attention, Keith, to what catches your eye, what catches your attention, because in those moments I will show you things and I will speak to you." You know, when you're walking along and something just catches your attention, I used to just carry on often. But since doing that, in those moments, the Lord started to really speak to me, really show me things. And it was like a story I read, actually. It's a marvelous story of a little girl who entertained herself by playing with a beam of sunlight shining in her bedroom. You know, when the sun's out and the dust, you can see how much dust there is actually coming into the bedroom. And she said, "Look, Mummy," she said, "isn't this beautiful?" And she then began to explain all the things she saw as she played with the sunbeam. "It's an angel's gown and I'm fixing the hem," she said. "Now it's a film projector and I can make actors appear on the wall," she continued excitedly. "Now I'm pretending it's a magic slide. See how my hand glides down the surface." On and on the little girl went, telling her mother all the delightful things she saw in the sunbeam. Finally, as the little girl went out to play with a friend, the mother stood there in thoughtful silence, looking at the sunbeam and looking at the dust through the sunbeam. And she said, "And to think," she said to herself, "a moment ago, all I saw was dust." Many times through scripture, I've got examples there, God chose to speak through things in the natural that then pointed to other things. For example, the innocent lamb slain in Genesis 22:8 as a sacrifice for the guilty sinner, pointing to a time when the sinless Son of God would be crucified so that man might be saved. It's one example. Another is manna coming down from heaven that came down fresh every morning, which foretold of Jesus coming as the bread of life, sent down from heaven to renew us daily. And the Lord continues to speak to us in many, many ways. He knows the way we think, and he will often catch our attention and trigger our thoughts, because he knows how we are wired up. The key is the association we make between what we see and what God is doing or saying. It's like with Mike's picture this morning. He realized God was speaking to him through what he shared, and what he then came and shared. And it's understanding what you're being shown is very important, actually. And God will show you something and speak to you through it. And I think we're in a season where he will do that more and more if we seek him. He just wants us to be available and seek him to do that. Like the little girl, we need only look past the dust, have the opportunity to see the fullness of what God is showing us. really have muddled my papers up to here. You didn't want a polished thing this morning, did you, really? You just wanted what I believe God was saying. It's actually, to help us do that, it's good to follow the example of David, where he once said, "I'm always thinking about the Lord, and because he is so near, I never need to stumble or fall," in Psalm 16, verse 8. You see, it's a healthy thing to fill our thoughts about the Lord, then in everything in which we involve ourselves offers up the opportunity to discover new things about God and makes it easier to pay attention to what he is showing us. And we're in that season, I believe, where as we seek him, he's going to speak to us, he's going to show us new things. We'll be able to look beyond the dust. So I bring this word, and I'm going to continue it next week and talk about how the storms of life can mask the purpose of God and the call of God. And I feel to bring that next week. But there's a challenge and encouragement for all of us this morning. The Lord in this season has a plan and purpose for his church here in Shepparton. Will you be part of that? Is the question I believe he's asking. It's a challenge for us all to work together, use the gifts God has given us. And I think he's just asking us today to be available, and he'll do the rest. He'll strengthen, he'll bring encouragement. He's just asking, will you serve him? Will you be available? It's like Isaiah when he said, "Here am I, send me." What I found is a lot of people will come up with ideas and it's, "Here am I, send you." And they think the pastor will do it, one of the leaders will do it. No, it's actually, if the God gives you something, it's, "Here am I, send me." And it's that availability, really. And you may not feel qualified, you may not feel able to do some of these things. I'm sure the people in Nehemiah didn't think they could do this as they were building. They did it. They did a remarkable thing because it was God's call, God's will, and they were right there and made themselves available. And they took ownership of the part of the wall that was right in front of them, it says. Said that a couple of times. It was what was right in front of them, and they built that, and they completed it all together. So are you willing to take ownership for the part of the wall right in front of it, in front of you, to see God's kingdom come? I'm going to pray, and I just believe the Lord would ask this question: are you available to serve him in this season? And that's a wide question, because it might be here, it might be somewhere else. That's the question he's asking each one. And I'm going to pray, but can I ask you, if your answer to that is, "Yes, Lord," could you just stand with me and I'm going to pray? So if your answer to the availability to serve God in this season, let's just pray together. Thank you, Lord. Nehemiah prayed in Nehemiah 6, verse 9. He said, "Now, Lord, strengthen my hands." Lord, we just come humbly before you this morning, Lord, and we just thank you that, Lord, you call everyone here to be a co-worker with you, to serve you in this time. And Lord, we've got different gifts, we've got different things we can bring to the table. And Lord, you just want us to say, "Yeah, I'm available." And I thank you that you're going to outwork all of that. You're going to show us what to engage with and what not to engage with. I believe you'll give us wisdom during that time, Lord, so we get the balance of all of this right. And Lord, I just pray that for each one, Lord, I don't know everyone's situation this morning, but you would come and strengthen each one of us. Lord, Nehemiah called out for you to strengthen him, and you came and you strengthened him in all that you had for him. Think of the times King David did that, where he was maybe going through a storm in life, and he turned to you and said, "Lord, please strengthen me," and you came and brought that strength. And Lord, let it be a time of encouragement. I thank you there's a lot of engagement here already, Lord. And for those who are engaging already, Lord, would you encourage them this morning, Lord, and just encourage them, Lord, in through your spirit. And so, Lord, I pray you give us wisdom, strength, encourage us. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, would you reignite any sense of wonder that might have been lost? Lord, it's just wonderful what you've done in our lives. Let us reflect on that, Lord. Lord, I've never lost that wonder that you, the God of all creation, would have this intimate relationship with me. And I just pray, Lord, different aspects of that wonder would come afresh through your Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. We thank you that you're already here. But I just pray as the weeks and months unfold more and more, there'll be such a sense of your Spirit working in us and through us and into the wider community of Shepparton. So we thank you, Lord, as we sang earlier, for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you take a hand and lead us forward. And that's such a wonderful thing, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, as well, as Diana brought that word earlier, Lord, whatever in us just needs to be uncovered and deal with, that you would just bring healing power, Lord. You would bring your healing power so that we might enjoy that fullness of life, that abundant life that you promise each one of us. And Lord, that healing might flow and freedom might flow in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.